396.
396, revised disabled person parking code.
Commissioner Novick.
Colleagues, in December 2013, Council approved a resolution to change disabled parking rules in Portland, with those changes to take effect July 1st. The goal of that resolution was to improve access for anyone looking for a parking space in heavily used areas, to meet or address the concerns of businesses that rely on high turnover of parking spaces for economic vitality, and to improve access for people with disabilities who have short-term trips downtown. The new rules would end the privilege of parking without payment at city meters for those who hold disabled placards. People with disabled placards will pay for metered space, except for wheelchair users who may continue to park without charge as required by state law. Additionally, the Transportation Bureau is going to install 80 designated spaces for permit holders, 30 for wheelchair-only placard users, 50 for people with the non-wheelchair disabled permits. Council directed transportation staff to return this spring with an ordinance which set implementation in motion. The ordinance we're considering today would make changes to city code to be consistent with Council's December resolution and would allow transportation staff to begin implementing the new program on schedule by July 1st. I'd like to review the reasons for Council's December decision to support the recommendation put forward by my office in concert with PBOT and the Disabled Parking Task Force. Currently, a disabled permit allows unlimited parking without payment in downtown and other metered areas. If you walk outside of City Hall, you will see blocks of cars displaying disabled permits that many of those cars appear to be parked all day. Annual surveys administered by PBOT showed the disabled permit holders account for 11 to 30% of vehicles in heavily used downtown metered areas. Overall, the number of parking spaces with disabled permits has increased over the years to 1 out of 9. And again, many of them appear to stay all day. This privilege has actually led to less availability of parking spaces for people who need it most, including people with disabilities who have a short trip to make downtown. And this practice contrasts with the aim of the Central Business District's short-term parking system, which is to support business vitality. Before I turn this over to Nolan Mackerel from PBOT, I want to let Council know that PBOT plans to print and distribute brochures to every vehicle in the metered district with disabled permits, informing them of the new changes. PBOT would like to start disseminating the brochures after the Memorial Day holiday. And in order to speed up the printing, I ask that after our meeting today, if the Council does not have objections to the content of the brochure, which Dolan will explain, that we give PBOT the green light to begin printing so we can start notifying people as early as possible. I'd like to take a moment to thank staff and stakeholders, members of the Portland Commission on Disability, the Portland Disabled Parking Task Force, and the Portland Business Alliance have been instrumental in providing commentary and ensuring that we have a humane program that addresses all of our goals. We're grateful for their guidance and their dedicated service. Thanks to all the constituents who contacted my office and PBOT with ideas and questions. We urge them to continue to do so. And finally, thanks to PBOT staff for working tirelessly on this program. Everybody's hard work is very much appreciated. Nolan's work, Sarah Schooley, Rob Birchfield, I'm forgetting people. And I'd like to thank Erica Niebel of my staff, who spent lots and lots of time on this issue. Nolan, take it away.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think we'll be getting the web page up shortly.
Okay. Carla will help you.
Thank you, Commissioner Novick. Mayor Hales and Commissioners, I'm Nolan Mackerel, Parking Enforcement Manager. The ordinance today is for code changes in City of Portland, Title 16. There's the web page. It's up, I think. It'll be on your screen soon.
There it is.
Commissioner Novick has provided the background for you, and I will briefly explain the code changes for the Council's consideration today. These recommended changes will enable PBOT to implement the disabled meter parking changes from the resolution passed by Council in December of 2013. These code changes will add and amend certain parts of the code. The addition of code language for resident and employee permits will be included into the new code. Definitions of what a regular and a wheelchair user placard is, and the code will also amend sections of the code for payment options at the metered space, which would include the regular disabled parking placards. Parking at a metered space with a regular disabled placard will follow new parking regulations. In any metered space designated 1 hour, 90 minutes, or 2 hours, The vehicle will display a receipt for the payment of the meter time for that block face and will be able to stay in the space for up to 3 hours. For meter lengths 3 hours, 5 hours, and 11 hours, the vehicle would pay for the time parked. For the duration of meters less than 1 hour, the vehicle would follow the parking regulations for that space. Wheelchair users, as Commissioner Novick explained, will be able to continue to park in any meter space 30 minutes or longer without fee or limit by state law. In each section of the code for placard parking, penalties for invalid, misuse, and unlawful use have been changed to reflect Oregon revised statute language, and this will aid in adjudication and also in consistency within the existing law, so there will be no conflict between what state law is for both of those, or for all three of those particular penalties. And then the brochure that we'll be handing out, this commissioner brought up, is we'll be getting that brochure finalized and printed, and we'll be distributing the informational brochure on all the vehicles on the street that are displaying a parking permit, a disability parking permit, that will give them all of the parking options available to them within the new changes, and will give them the opportunity to look at other ways to provide transportation to get to work or to find a place to park their vehicle if they reside downtown, or also gives them the opportunity to get a permit, which would be issued through transportation. And we'll be handing that brochure out until July, so that we'll have an opportunity to get an informational brochure on as many vehicles as we can during June before the July 1 implementation time. I also wanted to thank Commissioner Novick and his staff for the support and guidance that they've given us on this, and I'd like to thank the many PBOT staff that have helped throughout this process and changing for the task force meetings and development of the parking changes. I especially want to thank the members of the Disabled Task Force. It's been my honor to be part of this committee, and they've been meeting since 2008, and they've never lost focus on the responsibility for exploring the changes to be made within disabled parking. And this dedicated group worked through many parking options, and they came to a consensus with the direction of Commissioner Novick, and I just want to thank them for all their work that they've provided through the many years of trying to find a solution. And I also, if there's any questions, I'll be ready for those.
Great. Questions from Nolan?
So if you have a disabled permit and you park at a one-hour meter, you can stay up to 3 hours?
You'll pay for 1 hour. You'll display the receipt, and you'll be able to park for 3 hours.
3 hours. Just at the one-hour meters?
Or? Well, at a one-hour, 90-minute, or a two-hour meter, you buy the time of the meter block, and you'll be able to stay for 3 hours.
Okay.
So it's whatever that meter is. A 90-minute meter, you pay for 90 minutes.
Pay for 90 minutes, yeah. Can park for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Other questions for staff? And I know we've got some folks signed up to testify. We have members of the Disability Commission.
Do you have
some invited testimony, Steve?
I have one person. Oh, okay. Lisa Frisch is on the task force, and she has a brief testimony today.
Okay, great. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. My name is Lisa Frisch, and I am the Retail Program Director for the Portland Business Alliance and member of the Disabled Parking Task Force. I'm here today to express the Alliance's support for the Bureau of Transportation's code amendments to the Disabled Person Parking Code. The Disabled Parking Task Force was charged with developing parking policies for non-wheelchair disabled parking permits. In the 6 years that this committee has met, the use of disabled placards downtown grew from 11% to 30% in some areas of downtown. In fact, on many streets downtown, vehicles displaying placards park all day, thus limiting turnover. In the same 6-year period, lack of parking availability downtown ranked in the top 5 factors that need improvement in the Alliance's annual business census and survey, a survey of all 4,500 businesses in downtown Portland. As a result of the committee's thoughtful work, the proposed code amendments respond to long-standing complaints from downtown businesses regarding permit misuse, the lack of parking turnover, and limited number of convenient parking spaces with persons, with individuals with disabilities. Moving forward, we want to ensure that those individuals who need accommodations are adequately served by this program. We appreciate Commissioner Novick and PBOT are willing to work with individuals with disabilities who live in subsidized housing by providing them a free permit for the first year. We ask that for the initial rollout of implementation that there be fewer penalties and a more of an educational effort around the new changes unless there are egregious violations. Therefore, we recommend that the program be revisited to determine if any adjustments need to be made to ensure that the program is benefiting both short-term visitors and providing enhanced accessibility to those who need it most. I'd like to thank the City Council and in particular Commissioner Novick, for his thoughtful leadership on this issue. Finally, I'd like to acknowledge the hard work of my fellow members of the Disabled Parking Task Force, many who are here today in the back, for working together for the past 6 years to find a solution to this problem. It's been a pleasure to serve on this committee with you. As a result, we have a thoughtful and equitable solution to the longstanding misuse of parking placards downtown. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions for Lisa? Thank you both. Okay, and then again, we have members of the Disability Commission here. I'm not sure if you're planning to testify, but we also have a sign-up sheet. So, Joe, any commission members? Okay, they're standing by.
I think Joe Vanderveer was planning to testify.
Yeah, he's here.
Wasn't.
Yeah.
Where?
No, he's okay. Here, but not necessarily planning
to testify. Oh, hey, Joe. Didn't see you behind the post.
So, anyone signed up on this, Carla?
Yes, we have two people. Please come on up, Joe Walsh and Adam Chris.
Okay, come on up. Okay, Mr. Walsh, go ahead.
Would you like to go first?
Right, you can go first.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. It seems to me that what you're going to do is make it more difficult for handicapped people to park. One example that you use that Commissioner Salzman tried to explain was that I don't have a handicap parking because I don't drive. I could get one under the present regulations and give it to a friend who could drop me off and display it. But I have to go through a doctor. A doctor has to authorize the request for me to get a permit. So you already have a screening process that goes on. You seem to be implying and saying straight out that percentage-wise, the handicap are screwing around with the handicap parking, and they're screwing up the people downtown. Too bad. That's what I say. Too bad. If a handicapped person has a doctor to verify to get his permit, and he comes downtown, and he needs to be dropped off someplace, leave him alone. You'd say, okay, he can park for 3 hours in a 90-minute parking space, but he's got to pay for the 90 minutes. What's the logic behind that? Except money. What's the logic? If you're going to allow them to be there for 3 minutes of 3 hours instead of the 90 minutes that says on the parking space, then why are you doing that? It's just money. You just want to generate money. And as a handicapped person, and I don't really have a dog in this fight because I don't have a handicapped parking space. Thinking of getting one now, because you pissed me off. So what is the reason behind this? Commissioner Novick, you got a reason for this? I mean, is it that the Business Alliance says, hey, man, there's too many handicapped people parking downtown and they're blocking the place and we can't get the business going? Is that what this is about?
Joe, there's been a lot of work put into this, and there's a report you could read about the rationale, but we're not going to debate that here with you this morning.
Of course you're not going to debate it. It would be transparent if you debated it.
There's a lot
you
of
don't have an avenue to debate it.
Okay.
You sit here and you make these goddamn decisions.
Hey, that's it. You're done. Thank you.
No, sir. I'm not done yet.
You're done.
This is outrageous.
Yes, it is. Please.
And so are you.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
I wish the band would have stayed. That would have been nice. But I wanted to just address something this morning. I believe I did send you guys all emails. Hopefully you got my email. I wanted to address the idea that I'm not arguing against a parking ordinance because I know it's already been discussed numerous times. But I wanted to bring up a point based on the budget that was released. And I think I have a huge concern with the parking that we are going to now be charging, and we are going to get, I assume, this is going to bring in extra revenue for PBOT and for the city. So when I was listening about the budget, I was a little disturbed that I didn't hear that there was any money that was going to be given to sidewalk repairs and access for people with disabilities that do not drive. And one of the things that I think this ordinance will do is I think will take certain, will I think make people not want to necessarily drive down downtown, take more public transportation, and the people that live downtown will actually, you know, walk more or roll more down sidewalks and streets. However, if this money that we're generating is not going to fix streets or sidewalks, I kind of am a little disappointed in that. I think some of the people in the community, including myself, was supportive of this ordinance because we had the idea that we sought extra revenue based on this parking ordinance would be going to fixing streets, making more curb cuts. There's still a lot of issues in downtown Portland, and I fail to see why we're not going to be able to use any of this money to be able to do any of these repair works that need to be done.
Sir, actually, the revenue will go into the general pool of revenue that PBOT is able to use to fix the streets, to make curb cuts, to put sidewalks in places that lack them. It's not a huge amount of money, but it's a welcome amount of money that's available for exactly those tasks.
Yeah, it does go to that fund, and there will be a small amount of increased revenue, so it gives us the possibility of doing a little bit more than we did before.
Commissioner Chris, thank you for sending your message ahead of time. Commissioner Novick, is there a plan to track the increase in revenue and to make sure that revenue is spent downtown? Or the parking meter areas?
Well, actually, I don't think that, we will know how much more revenue we get from downtown parking this next year, but we won't know exactly how much of it came from people with disabled placards. It'll just be, people will just pay and we'll get those additional payments. But we're not planning to, we spend a lot of money downtown, but we need money for services throughout the city. There's no practical way, nor we're planning to segregate the specific amount to pay for specific things downtown. I mean, it's money that's available to do the kind of work that we need to do all over the city, and downtown benefits from that.
Do we have the listing of which facilities downtown, which curb cuts are needed, and a capital improvement project list for what order we're going to do them in when we have funding?
We do have lists of projects of all kinds we need to do when we have funding, but we're not designating the specific what we hope will be about $1.5 million to specific projects that will go into general revenues.
But some of that will go to the transition plan?
Well, to the extent that it's, I think indirectly, yes. But again, it's not going to be designated.
Because we're already spending general transportation revenues on the transition plan, and we've got a list, as he said, of which curb cuts next. Actually, most of them aren't downtown, because most of them downtown are done. But they're systematically doing curb cut projects all over the city. We might want to bring staff up and address that. But I saw the list a while ago. I saw the map a while ago of where we're working. And this just, as Steve said, throws more, you know, into that hopper of revenue to pay for that and everything else that they spend GTR, general transportation revenues, on. But exactly how many curb cut or curb ramp projects we're doing this year, don't know, but there are some already.
Right, and I remember we had that discussion last year in the budget process, which was pretty much concurrent with the discussion of the policy of these parking changes. So maybe what would be helpful is to publish and post that list so that Commissioner Chris and others could see that there is a list and that we are making progress on it.
Good idea. I'd
ask, can I ask Rob Birchfield to address that possibility?
Thanks very much. Appreciate your help and your service on the commission.
So you want to repeat the question? So
would it be
I'm
possible,
sure I understand.
Would it be possible to post the list of the transition plan projects for curb cuts and the map that the mayor was referring to of where they are?
I think so. I'll investigate that. I know that we know the deficiencies. I think we know where the ones that we need to fix are. And then I think what happens is there's some prioritization that goes on about which deficiencies we're going to fix. That's based both on public input, so the public telling us where they need those fixes, as well as us trying to get alignment with our infrastructure improvements. So, for instance, if we're doing street work, paving work, signal work, we will then do those corner ramps at the same time we're doing that maintenance or improvement work. So there's a number of factors that go on that sort of bring into alignment what our priorities are in that annual work program. But I'm sure that the posting the deficiencies would be an easy, relatively easy response, so people at least know, what is the work that we're trying to accomplish through the transition plan.
That would be very helpful, and then perhaps the Commission on Disability could look at that, and they may know of particular locations.
And that is the public input. That's the type of public input I referred to, is that we work with those stakeholders to prioritize their needs really at the top of the list.
Good, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, and as you know, one of the things the Americans with Disabilities Act requires is when we do a construction project otherwise, we have to go ahead and comply. We can't build back substandard curb ramps. So Multnomah Boulevard, for example, there's a big project there now under construction. Of course, it includes ADA-compliant curb corners, even if they weren't the highest on the list of priorities because we're following the law, right?
Correct, so, and the rules now are that even if we do a 2-inch pavement overlay, we fix all the
corners. Oh, really?
The corners.
I didn't know that. So
yeah,
even so if you're doing a grind and overlay,
yes,
you go ahead and do the corners.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Didn't know that. Good. I think it would be useful for the council and for the community to get that information in kind of a user-friendly way so people could see which projects are rolling up to actual construction. That's possible. That'd be great.
We'll see what we can do in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions for Rob? Anyone else that wants to testify at all? Okay. And then this is not an emergency ordinance, so it will come back for second reading. But I think there's this, do we need just a sense of the council that we should indeed proceed with the printing of the public information so that when the ordinance is approved next week, we'll have a head start?
I would appreciate that.
So anyone on the council disagree with that idea? So
I'm assuming the task force has had a look at the draft. Or somebody from the Commission on
Disability. Yeah.
Thank you.
Great.
I don't know if Nola mentioned, our plan is to issue warnings, I mean, what's after July, to before we start giving people tickets, to issue an initial warning. So in addition to sending out the brochures, we're not going to start ticketing people immediately. We're going to give a warning in advance.
Great. All right. Thank you, Commissioner Novick, for your work on this and for the members of the commission and the task force and staff that have worked together on this. So we'll come back for second reading and at council action next week.